On your mark, get ready, start.
Broadcasting from California and Delaware, this is the Hard Rocking Trivia Show. And here are your hosts, Mark and Danny.
All right, everybody out in podcast land, time for another episode of Hard Rocking Trivia Show. This time, we're going to start off with a concert review from Mark. He went to a show earlier this week or late last week. I'm not sure, but what was it?
It was Friday, April 8th, 2022.
All right. And who was the show?
It was Jeff Scott Soto and Jason Bieler at a place called the Hotel Cafe, which is a small little place on Cahuenga Boulevard in the middle of scuzzy Hollywood.
Yeah, I know Butch Walker's done a bunch of shows there.
Yep, same place.
All right.
There's a big room and a small room. We were in the small room, which is called the second stage. And when I tell you this area is scuzzy, it is scuzzy.
All right.
It's funny, there's some high-end clubs around the corner. And there's homeless laying around everywhere.
Jeez.
Yeah, it's not good. But I'm glad we went. I took the wife to the show. She saw Jason Bieler by himself. Doesn't know a lick of Saigon Kick music whatsoever. But she loved it. She loved the show for the humor. And she thought, that guy can play and sing really well. Like, yeah, he sure can. He's a mighty,
yes, he can.
He's a talented dude. So we get there. We get our tickets. $20 person. Can't beat it.
Oh, jeez.
And they have a VIP, which is also $50. But with the $20 going in there, sorry to disclose this to the guys, you're still going to meet them before because they're small little places. We counted how many people came in for the show. 50.
50?
50. And it's a room. It's literally a room with a small stage in the corner.
Oh,
and,
man.
And a bar in the back. And we were sitting up against the bar.
Okay.
So the guys walked in, and most of us were already there. As they're walking in, they're shaking everybody's hands as they're going through. Apparently, Jeff's sister was there, and some of his family members, and some of his high school buddies were there as well.
All right.
So he announced, hey, my friend's from Sylmar High School. Interesting, he said Sylmar High School, because guess who went to Sylmar High School?
You.
No, I went with West Springfield with you, you dope. My wife went to Sylmar High School.
Oh, geez.
So it turns out that my wife and Jeff are the same age, and they went to the same high school, but they graduated different years. My wife is class of 84, Jeff is class of 83.
Oh, man, but she didn't know him, huh?
No, didn't know him. He wasn't the superstar back then.
Yeah.
And talk about a big guy. This guy could have been an offensive lineman. He's big.
Really?
He's not a fat guy, but he's a big guy. Easily over 6 feet. I mean, he could run you over easy. He looks like a bear. He's not a skinny, scrawny little dude. And Jason Bieler's a little taller than most people think. He's probably 6 feet.
Wow.
But he's a skinny little dude. But so on. They're chatting around everybody. We're shaking their hands. They sit down for the show. And the show is pretty much the two guys going, doing Saigon Kick songs. And they also did a Talisman song, if you can believe that.
Oh, okay, cool.
Which I didn't know, because I'm not that familiar with that band. They told some stories. They played, one of the key things they do is Jason starts strumming More Than Words.
Yeah.
But Jeff sings, I'm the Viking. I am the Viking. And they had a cool banter in between the two guys. It was quite humorous. And in between, you know, they do some songs. They did some old 70s songs that you wouldn't believe. I won't give it all away for everybody. But one of them was Mandy by Barry Manilow.
Really?
Yeah. And it sounded great.
I bet it did.
And they threw some older 70s songs in there that you and I would definitely know. But they also threw in some more recent songs that I didn't know at all, but my wife knew them.
Really?
And the only one that I was familiar with was Watermelon Sugar.
Oh, by
Harry Styles.
Harry Styles, yeah.
I only heard that because my daughter played it, but they played it.
Wow.
Yeah, and then they played
some other... They probably did it better than Harry did.
Probably, and they did some other song that my wife knew right away, and I was clueless. But overall, they played for about an hour and 15 minutes because there was a show after that particular show, and it was a lot of fun. Everybody was having a good time, lots of laughs. They end the show, the encore, is, I don't know if you know this song, it's called F You, It's Christmas.
F you, it's Christmas, I hate your shiny lights. F you, it's Christmas, you're shopping and your fights. With your Frosty and Rudolph and silver and gold. Your sweet little stories all sewn by the old. Your Dancer and Prancer and balls hung with care. Your candlelight vigils, your sad little prayers. F you, it's Christmas, your trees in all your malls. F you, it's Christmas, your garland and your balls. With a chubby old man bringing toys for the tots. 3,000 small babies all covered in snot. Bicycles, tricycles.
No.
F you, it's Chris. Oh, you don't know that song?
No.
Oh, my God. You need to go check into your library under Jason Bueller and find that song because it is hilarious.
All right.
And it's very musical, too. It's, I mean, my wife was humming it on the way home. It's got some funny lyrics, and it's got one of those choruses that you're going to sing over and over and over again. It's a great song.
All right. So, I'll check it out.
So it was definitely a two-thumbs-up show for me. It was great. And we're recording this show right now to Wednesday because Danny has to go somewhere. I don't know where in the U.S. he's going, but he's going somewhere. So we're going to post this on Monday, and the shows that are coming up for this particular tour, there's three more left. April 29th in Cleveland, April 30th in Chicago at Reggie's, and May 13th in New York City at a place called Rockwood Music Hall. So if you're anywhere near those particular venues, those dates, go to the show. It's worth it completely.
Oh, man. That sounds awesome.
You should go to the 13th. Are you out of town?
May 13th?
May 13th, New York City, small place.
I'll have to check it out and check my calendar, see what's going on.
Bring the wife. She would love it. Jeff Scott Soto, no joke, amazing singer.
Oh, yeah, duh.
Yeah, and they tapped on a little journey, too. I won't give it away which one, but oh, my God. I mean, Jason can sing his butt off. But Jeff is a whole nother level, and the two of them together, perfect. Fantastic. Wow. I wish they were to chord together.
Man, I bet their harmonies are amazing.
Yeah, and they're constantly on these cruises. They're doing them now because, I mean, it's easy. You're paying two guys. Basically, one guy plays guitar, and, you know, it's not a big setup there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think Donnie V from Enough's Enough and John Corabi are starting to do that.
Oh, wow, that'd be cool.
They don't do it together, but, you know, they play a show and one will go on first, one will go on second. But I mean, fantastic singers and great songwriters, so it's worth it. Plus, we're getting old and they can't jump around like they used to, you know. And we can't headbang there for 2 hours. It just doesn't work anymore.
Exactly. So you got to see some guys with some real talent.
Yeah, I mean, amazing. So anybody near those shows, check it out. You won't be disappointed. Bring the wife, even though she doesn't like heavy metal, hard rock. Mine doesn't. She loved the show. Fantastic. So that's
all. Well, I'll have to check my calendar for May 13th.
Yeah, what else you got to do, man? Come on.
I got nothing going. I got nothing.
There you go.
Right.
Bring the daughters. Bring everybody.
Everybody I know.
Everybody you know.
Sounds very cool.
Yeah. On that note, let's play a commercial.
All right, everybody. I hope you enjoyed the commercial. We're back, and we're just going to do something we thought we'd kind of get a kick out of. We're going to rank all of the David Lee Roth era Van Halen albums including A Different Kind of Truth and the Live at Tokyo Dome. There are 8 albums. We're going to go from what we think is worst to best. And, you know, it's tough because there's not one Van Halen album I hate. Not one. I mean, even the Gary Cherone album had some great songs on it. I'm going to start with my worst, I guess, quote, worst, which is the Live at the Tokyo Dome. It is, it's hard to listen to because, you know, Dave just doesn't have the chops he used to. The music, of course, is amazing, as always. I mean, you got Eddie Van Halen playing, so it's going to be good, but just no.
Yeah, it seemed like it was rushed. You know, it's one of those things they just threw out there.
Yeah.
I think I've listened to it once, and that's it. I put it away, never listened to it again.
Yeah, I think I'm about the same. I might have put it on once when I was just, you know, working and had it on playing in the background, but yeah, not good. I mean, in a pinch, yeah, I'll listen to it. It's still Van Halen, but, you know, back in the day, the David Lee Roth vocals were part of what made that band.
Right. He could pull it off, but...
Yeah.
And live, it was kind of a struggle live. I remember you didn't like him too much live, but...
I mean, he was a great showman. You know, just, you know, he was never the best vocalist, but that wasn't what it was about. It was about attitude and showmanship, and it was great.
Yeah, and the other three guys were amazing. Before you go on to the next one, I saw one of those, somebody posted this, and I think it was Mitch LaFon posted something about this particular album, and I wrote, like, the worst Van Halen album in the catalog. And some guy came back, worse than OU812 and Van Halen 3? No way. I'm thinking, what do you think? If you had to guess, is this the worst Van Halen album in the catalog, counting all the albums?
Yeah.
I agree.
Absolutely. Yeah, it is. I mean, OU812? What, is the guy joking?
No, he wasn't.
Oh, my God. And 3 had some great songs on it. It also had probably my least favorite song ever.
How many say I?
Oh, my God. Ooh, that should have been a trash heap song.
Yeah, the only
cutting room floor or whatever.
Yeah, the only big band song that's worse than that, Brandon by Motley Crue. That's worse.
Oy.
Yeah. All right. Onward, what's number 7, Danny?
Number 7 for me, A Different Kind of Truth. Yeah, kind of the same thing. You know, he can't cut it anymore. It's just that the vocals just aren't there. They're not strong enough. And, I mean, the music is great. If you have a bunch of the demos or rough cuts from early Van Halen, you can hear a lot of the songs that are probably 20, 30 years old on this Different Kind of Truth, which there's nothing wrong with that. Still, Dave just can't cut it.
Right. Number 6.
Number 6 for me. Here we're getting back to the old school David Lee Roth, which is hard for me to parse out between them. But I'm going to go with Diver Down.
I knew you were going that way.
Yeah. There's some great songs on there. I mean, The Full Bug is one of my favorites. But half of the album is covers. And I don't want to hear Van Halen covers. I mean, yeah, You Really Got Me is one of their best songs. But come on, man.
What's your least favorite cover on that album?
I'm going to say Dancing in the Streets.
I knew it.
I don't like it.
I completely understand.
Yeah. So what's your number 6?
Oh, you want me to go through mine? Well, right now, all right, my number 8 was Tokyo because it's crap production and Dave's awful. The songs are great. Same reason as yours. My number 7, same as yours. The reason being is, you know what, the 6 that came before when we were kids, they're part of our childhood. We know them all, back and forth.
Front to back.
Yeah, yep. This one, I mean, there's some definitely skippers. I call these are skippers, songs that you skip, you don't listen to again. And the first one, Tattoo, the lead single, I think it's stupid. She's the Woman, which is basically taken right from the old demos, which I never thought was a great song as a demo. So some people like that one. Blood and Flyers, But they're the 3 songs that I love on this album, Chinatown, Bullethead, Stay Frosty.
Oh, yeah. Stay Frosty's awesome.
Yeah.
Great song.
I can listen to those over and over again. And then there's a bunch of other songs that I really don't know that well because I wasn't that invested into it. So that's why it's number 7. It's not awful, but you know, just some songs I'm just not into as much.
Yeah.
Because I grew up with the other ones. And your number 6 is different than my number six. Here's where we start to differ.
All right. Well, I'll go through the rest of mine, and then you can do your top six, I guess, since we agree on the bottom two.
Right.
And so. I think for the most part, most people will. My number five, and this is where it gets really hard, I got to say Women and Children first.
Okay.
Only because the other albums are so freaking great. But Women and Children first, you know, there's some of the songs, I don't know, Lost Control. Interesting song, but just not, it really doesn't go anywhere. It's just kind of like a...
That song's a mess.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just all over the place. And the video's even worse.
Yeah. I can see why they didn't put that video out. Oof.
Yeah. Oofa.
Exactly.
My next one, number four, is 1984. Okay. Now, there are some great songs on here. Their only number one single, Jump, was on that album. Drop Dead Legs, great song. But, you know, we're talking about the other three Van Halen albums. And is this better than the other three? No.
Now, I'm going to stop you right now because the last three you just named, I named the same three, different order.
All right.
So at number six for me is 1984.
Okay.
There's some songs that I don't dislike, but I'm burned out on. I'm burned out on Panama, Jump, Hot for Teacher. I love Panama and Hot for Teacher. Just burned out on them. Just eh. And the two songs that I could really do without aren't that bad. The last two, Girl Gone Bad and House of Pain, which are good tunes, but I don't love them as much as the previous songs before. But I don't hate them either. So I just put that one just because I'm burned out on that particular album. And that's their highest selling album, but it was way overexposed Van Halen. It kind of broke the band up a little bit. I guess Dave's head got way too big and he was gone.
He thought he was the deal.
Yeah. Number five, when we just switched, I put Diver Down. And the reason I put Diver Down on there, I started going through the albums, and if I didn't like three songs on there, or two songs, most of them I like, all of them are like maybe one song I don't like. So I'm Diver Down in particular. I don't like Cathedral, which is just basically him messing around. I can't stand Big Bad Bill as Sweet William now. Ooh. And I'm with you. Out of the covers, the one that doesn't work is Dancing in the Street.
Yeah.
The other covers are all right. The Kings cover, Where Have All the Good Times Gone? Good. Pretty Woman? Good. I can live with those. But not Dancing in the Street. That's a skipper for me.
Yeah.
Get that out of here.
And it turns out that Eddie wanted that beginning synthesizer part to be part of a different song. And I guess Dave and Ted Templeman kind of shanghaied it into being that song.
But I think it works. I love
that's what I've heard.
Yeah. But number four for me is Women and Children First. Like all the songs except two. Two skippers. Yeah. What do you think they are?
I'm going to say Tora, Tora, Tora.
I don't even
and
okay. That's part of the other song, Lost Control. So, yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to say those two.
And what's the other? And the other one I wrote, Could This Be Magic? Which is better than Big Bad Bill.
I actually like that song.
I do too, but...
Yeah, I like that version.
But yeah, I'll take that over Big Bad Bill, which is why that album is higher.
Yep.
So, all right, now to your top three, which we have the same albums.
Top three.
Don't know if they're the same order, though. We'll see.
All right, so my number three is Van Halen 2. You got to go... I mean, when you're comparing... Of those three albums, I got to go with 2, even though... There's so many songs that I love on there. I mean, Dead or Alive, Women in Love.
Oh, yeah.
There's so many great songs on that album. But
yeah, mine is my number three is the same one. And the only reason I had one skipper track, Spanish Fly, and that's more of an intro. I mean,
he talked about once he'd love to do all the intros or all the instrumentals that he had on all the albums. You know, Spanish Fly, Eruption, Cathedral. I mean, and most of his solos were combinations of all those. You know, his live solos.
Yeah.
You know, and he put in 316 in there sometime. You know, so it's interesting. I would have liked to have seen him do the full instrumental versions at live versions. Would have been cool.
I mean, that's I'm nitpicking because these three albums we're going to talk about are all great.
Absolutely.
That's the only thing I don't love on Van Halen 2. A small little instrumental. That's it. Because all the rest of the songs are fantastic.
Not absolutely.
No skippers on that album except for that little Spanish Fly thing.
Yep.
Now all we're right. down to
and
two.
Number one and two, I could go either way, but I decided to go Van Halen 1 is my number two.
Okay.
And only because I love Fair Warning so much. Every song on that album, I love. There are three Van Halen albums, in my opinion, that set new guitar standards. Just across the board, new rock standards.
Mm-hmm.
Van Halen 1, of course, just from, you know, like, you put that on, and you're like, what in the hell is this? What? You got Fair Warning, which had so many new techniques on it, one song after the other. You know, the tapping he does, it's just unbelievable. And then Carnal Knowledge was the other one that just had, it's like he took another step in the greatness of guitar hero-ship or mm-hmm. worshipness or whatever you want to call it. But those three albums to me are the three that set the standards for different, or the three different standards for rock guitar. And for me, Fair Warning takes my top spot.
Okay. Well, I'm like you, flip-flop. So I looked at the tracks on both albums. It's like, I got to pick one of these. And I reversed it from you. I've always said Fair Warning's my favorite. But for this particular one, I looked at every track on Van Halen 1. All 11 songs. All classic. All yep. great. Not one skipper on there. And Fair Warning, the only one I don't think is great, but I like a lot, is One Foot Out the Door. And that's
yeah,
a fair,
see, I
a
love very, that song.
It's good. I never skip it, but is it good enough to be on Van Halen 1?
Yeah.
Yeah, see, we're nitpicking here.
I mean, yeah, absolutely. He started with the Fair Warnings when he kind of started with the keyboards.
Right.
There's all kinds of comments about how dark Fair Warning is and how Diver Down was Dave and Ted Templeman's response to the darkness of Fair Warning. You know, that it's all covers and just much more upbeat, happy album. I don't want that. I want Fair Warning where it's dark and...
Just look at the damn cover. A guy getting punched in the face and some kid pointing and laughing in there.
Yeah.
I always found that disturbing.
Yeah.
It's like, wow. And the music fit with it. It's a disturbing cover. But yeah, you can't go wrong with, especially those top three. They're so great.
Yeah, all three of them. I mean, yeah, I could definitely understand an argument for having Van Halen 2 as the number one album, but when you're talking Fair Warning and Van Halen 1, I don't know.
Yeah.
You can't beat either one of those. So
yeah,
I have 1 and 1A. How about that?
Right. And my first concert was Van Halen on the Van Halen 2 tour, their first European headlining gigs. Oh,
man.
Fantastic. Changed my life as a 14-year-old.
Yep.
Was a hard rock fan ever since.
I saw the Diver Down and 1984 album tours.
Yeah, I think
with Dave. I saw a couple with Sammy, and then I saw Gary, and then I saw the reunion with Dave.
Yeah, can't go wrong. Yeah. I think you and I saw the Diver Down tour together.
Yeah, I think
It's the one from the Cap Center. It's online. You can watch it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it brings back all those memories.
Yeah.
Except I want to forget about the assless chaps. Now, Dave, come
Oof.
On.
Oof.
Didn't work for me.
I don't think they were meant for you.
It definitely weren't. And if I did like it, I wouldn't have a family today like I do now. So,
exactly.
So I'm good to go. So hopefully hopefully you guys enjoyed our little ranking. We just did this off the top of our heads. And we figured, why not?
Yeah, I sat here and I did it in about 10 minutes. You know, I didn't go through the album song by song like you did, but I'm just, you know, like you said, we grew up with these albums, so I know them back and forth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The only one I had to revisit was A Different Kind of Truth, because it's that's just not one I listen to very often. In 1984, I don't really listen to that one either. The other ones, absolutely, all the time. I was listening to Van Halen today.
Well, you know, I would definitely put, if I made a Van Halen playlist, I think Stay Frosty would be on there.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
In fact, on my phone, there's three songs from A Different Kind of Truth, and I named them all.
Yeah. And I'd from three, I would definitely have Dirty Water Dog.
Listen, heard that today, too. Loved it.
Yeah. Great song.
And when I was taking my son home from basketball practice, song popped up from Van Halen 2 that doesn't get talked about much, Light Up the Sky.
Oh, my. That's one of my favorites, too.
Yeah, I think they did that
keep
live.
Keep saying that.
It's great.
Oh, yeah.
Flawless. Fantastic. I think that music's going to live on way past when the guys are all gone. People always come back to Van Halen. Like they do, people come back to Led Zeppelin. Same thing with Van Halen. People come back to it. Just makes you feel good.
Absolutely. That, all right, so put your order on the notes or the IM or whatever you want to put it on. Let us know what you think.
Yeah. If you agree with us, most of you guys will probably agree with us. I don't think anybody's going to put Tokyo Dome Live as their number one album.
Greatest live album ever.
If they do, they're tone deaf.
Yeah.
Yeah. Give me a break.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the only blemish on the Roth era Van Halen, in my opinion. But
yeah.
Okay, on that note, how about we play some Rapid Fire?
All right. Let's do some rapid fire. This is where we put together three questions and try to stump each other with some trivia. Usually it's rock, but last time I had an Earth, Wind & Fire that I got some crap about. But hey, it's all music.
Yeah, next time
I love Earth, Wind & Fire.
Listen to your wife next time.
Yeah, my wife said, why would you ask that question?
Because you're trying to.
You're just mad because you got it wrong. That's all.
I'm not mad at all.
You're so pissed.
Yeah, I thought about that for 2 weeks now. I'm just stomping around.
Yeah.
Angry. Yeah.
Kicking the dog.
Yeah.
Dog's
too fast for me. I can't kick the dog.
All right, so here we go. Question number one for you. What is the only Twisted Sister studio album to feature someone other than the original five members?
That would be the one with Hot Love on it. What is the name of that album? It's not Hot. Oh, God. I could see the album because that's the one that was supposed to be a Dee Snider solo album. Oh, Brain Fart. It was after Come Out and Play.
Mm-hmm.
What's the letter it starts with?
Well, the first word is love. You said that already.
Love is for suckers.
That's right. Yeah, AJ Perra went off to go be with the former band, and Joey Franco sat in on drums.
Yeah, and then the album didn't go anywhere, and the band broke up for like 20 years.
Yep. Then they all five got back together.
There's some good songs in the album. The album's not bad.
Oh, yeah.
But after the mess that Come Out and Play was, yeah. They got softer. Yep. When they got famous, they got kind of cartoonish. And that was not the appeal of Twisted Sister. They were more supposed to be sinister and evil. If they had stayed with that, I think they would have had a longer career. Recording career, anyway.
They totally changed their, their appeal. Or maybe their not really their image, because they stayed with the makeup for the most part. But back then, it was like guys dressed up as girls that could kick your butt.
Yeah.
And would like it to.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They challenge people. Can you want to throw stuff at us? Come on up here one at a time. You can try to throw something. I think they did that. It was a Reading Festival, one of those things. There's a recording of it. Meet us back there and try. I mean, these guys are big guys. So I don't think anybody challenged them.
No.
And they gained a lot of respect. The fact that Motorhead gave them the stamp of approval as well.
Yeah.
In England. And that's where they took off first. So. All right. Question one for you. How many studio albums did Richie Kotzen record with Mr. Big?
Ooh, I'm going to say two.
You are correct.
Yes.
Get Over It and Actual Size.
Nice. They're both great albums.
Yeah, they don't suck.
No.
I think
that's one band that didn't have a crappy album, I don't think.
No.
Mr. Big. There may be some that are a classic, but they don't have a bad album.
No, there's always some good songs on there.
Yeah. All right, so we are one, and we each have one.
Yeah.
I'll give you that first one.
Oh, I got it.
Okay.
Thanks.
All right, question two for you. How many of the Van Hagar studio albums went to number one in the U.S.?
I'm going to say two.
That would be incorrect.
Okay, how many?
All of them.
Really?
All four went to number one.
Damn you. Sorry.
You look back, you think, they're all awesome albums. So,
I wouldn't say that.
Oh, come on. None of the David Lee Roth albums went to number one.
No. I mean, they were bigger because of 1984, and then when they came out, yeah, everything, there was such a big fan base, they bought them all right away first week.
Yep.
See, oh, the one out of the three, of the four with Hagar, the only one I don't love is OU812. That's the
really?
One. Yeah. Love 5150. I love four on. I can't. I'm not gonna say the acronym, but
Carnal Knowledge.
Love Balance. I like. I don't love, but I like it. Balance a lot better than OU812. So,
see, I would rank Balance as the last. If I was ranking Van Hagar albums, I would rank Balance as my least favorite. But there's still some great songs. I mean, Seventh Seal's awesome. Again, they have some instrumentals on there that are not so much.
It's amazing how the one guy changed their sound completely.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, totally different band. You know, you hear this debate of which is better, Van Halen or Van Hagar. You can't compare them. They're two completely different bands.
Even though they share three members, yeah, yeah. It's completely different.
I mean, who's better, Deep Purple or Rainbow?
Or Whitesnake.
Oh. Yeah, totally different bands. You can't compare them all.
Right.
So, whatever. All right.
All right. Question two for you. Going to get your thinking cap on for this one.
Oh, boy.
Black Sabbath has had a lot of drummers, a lot, that have recorded with the band. Name, just give me five drummers who recorded with Black Sabbath.
Oh, man.
Just five. Most of them were named guys.
All right. I'll say Bill Ward.
Correct.
Vinny Appice.
Correct.
Vinny Appice. Yep. Whatever.
Appice. He's the Appice. Carmine's the Appice. You got two. You got three left.
Crap. I can't think of anymore. I'm going brain dead.
Wow. You're going to kick yourself.
Yeah, I know it. I know it.
One of them was in a band you just mentioned. But you probably don't know the drummer of that band.
Yeah. I can't think of it.
Actually, two guys on this list were a drummer in that band. The band that you said.
Cozy Powell.
That's three.
Oh, what's that guy's name? Tommy Aldridge? No.
Nope.
No, he wasn't a Black Sabbath.
You got three. You give up?
Yeah, I can't think of any more.
You missed this question. All right, I'll give you the hints now. This guy, after Bill Ward left, was in ELO.
Bev Bevan. Jeez.
Yeah, for one album.
Yeah, it always amazed me. He did not fit.
No. He did it. He was more of a fill-in guy, but I don't think he was on the original, but on the bonus edition, I think he's on the live cuts. The next guy is the Catman.
Peter Criss, what?
The new Catman.
Who?
Eric Singer. Yeah, that whole incarnation with, Glenn Hughes. Yeah, when Glenn Hughes was in Black Sabbath. Eric Singer was the drummer.
Wow.
Look at the No Stranger to Love video. That's Eric Singer on drums. So you missed that one. Next guy. Oh, the guy who was in Rainbow, I don't think you'd get his name, is Bobby Rondinelli.
No.
So, yeah, he was. And the Latin two guys recorded the very last Sabbath album would be the drummer from Rage Against the Machine, Brad Wilk, and Tommy Clufetos, who played drums on the tour, too.
Okay.
Because Bill Ward, they didn't want something to deal with Bill Ward. I don't know. I think Bill
Ward. Yeah, some money thing. Bill Ward, I don't know.
Some Sharon Osbourne shenanigans going on there.
So. Absolutely.
She's the devil.
I think if she was on my side, I would love her to death. Otherwise, I would hate her so much.
Oh, yeah. Look what she did to Jakey Lee and Bob Daisley. Screwed them over big time.
Oh, totally.
Lyrics by Ozzy.
Lee Kirksley.
Give me a break. Yep, screwed him over too.
Yeah, unbelievable.
Yeah, we're not big fans of Sharon Osbourne. So.
No. All right, so we're each one for two.
Okay, down to the last question for the big prize this week.
The big prize
is a year's supply of Kix cereal.
Oh, okay, Kix cereal, great.
Yeah,
I don't even think I've ever had Kix cereal in my life. But okay,
Well,
if all you right, win, you so. Will. Question three for you. Who issued their debut album first? And I'll give you six bands. Queen, Judas Priest, Deep Purple, Black Sabbath, Thin Lizzy, or Grand Funk Railroad?
So Judas Priest, Queen, and it's not
Deep
neither,
Purple.
It's neither one of those two. You said Deep Purple, Thin Lizzy, and what? And
Black Sabbath
and Grand Funk Railroad.
Grand Funk.
Ooh, it's between Deep Purple and Grand Funk. I'm going to say Deep Purple.
You are correct.
Yes, two for three.
Their album came out in 68, Grand Funk was 69.
Nice.
And Black Sabbath, 70, Thin Lizzy, 71, Queen, 73, and Priest was 74.
Okay, wow.
There you go.
Good question. So it's down to you. If you get this right, it's a tie.
We tie, so we have 6 months of Kick Cereal.
Kick Cereal rules, by the way.
Okay.
And, yeah, so a lot of people don't like it. Not much of a flavor, but kind of like Cheerios, you know.
Okay.
Kind of like that, except it's little balls. Question three. Here we go. Who were the first two lead singers in Lynch Mob?
Oh, Jesus. I have no clue.
Jesus was not in Lynch Mob.
He wasn't?
No.
How about Oh Jesus?
No, Oh Jesus was not in there either. Yeah, you don't know the two lead singers in Lynch Mob?
Nope.
Okay, first one, the original was Oney Logan.
Yeah, okay, that doesn't help.
And the second lead singer on the album number two is now the current lead singer in Warrant.
Oh.
I blanked on his name a month ago. I couldn't remember. Man, let's see if you blank on it.
I just did.
Robert Mason.
Robert Mason, damn it. I knew. Ugh.
So the kick stays in my house. Yes.
All right. Well, you have a pallet of kicks in your garage, so enjoy that.
Yeah. Woohoo.
Well, let's see if anybody got 12 or 6 out of 6.
I think so. I don't think these were super hard this week. So
nah. I'm not a big fan of Lynch Mob, so I didn't know that one.
If you're going to listen to any Lynch Mob stuff, the first album is amazing. That just get that one alone. You'll love it. It's
all right.
It's almost better than the Dokken albums, that particular one album. And after that, it wasn't as good.
Okay.
The first one was amazing. And now they changed.
Right,
they changed their name. The Woke Police got to them, and Lynch Mob is no more. They're not using their name. Oh well.
Yeah, because you can't say Lynch.
Yeah, even though it's his name.
Yeah,
but not really. We learned a while back. It's not George Lynch is not his real name. That's the name that Gene Simmons gave to him.
Yeah, that's true.
Yep, it's true. If it's on Wikipedia, it has to be true, right?
That's right. Sure.
Okay.
You learn stuff on this show.
Yeah. Sometimes you don't want to, but you do.
Yeah, but in 2 weeks, ask me again who the lead singers of Lynch Mob are.
And you won't remember.
I'll remember Robert Mason.
I don't even remember what kind of toast I had yesterday, you know? Don't recall.
All right.
For it is a human number. Its number is 6.
All right, we're going to do another episode of 6 and 30, where we put together 6 clips of songs in 30 seconds, and you got to come up with the artist. Usually it's not, sometimes it's extremely difficult. I made this one fairly easy because Mr. Baby Man has been complaining they've been too hard.
Who's Mr. Baby Man? I have no idea who that is.
Yeah, you, Mr. Baby Man.
All right.
They're so hard, I don't get them. So
that sounds like me.
I think you'll get at least 4 out of this.
Okay. Good, because I went the opposite way.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure. I'll probably get like, what, 2? 1?
2 or 1, maybe.
Okay. Okay. This will be fine.
But you might surprise him. Sometimes when I don't think you're going to do well, you kick ass. It's like, you just never know.
It all depends on what I listen to. So.
Right.
All right, so go ahead and play the clip.
Okay, so get your pencil and paper ready for this, because these go by quick. It's 5 seconds.
Oh, and we usually have a theme to these.
Yeah, what's your theme this week?
This theme is all of these released in 1988.
1988. All right.
The year I graduated college.
Woohoo. That's the year I joined the Army. Oh, what a terrible year. I actually joined in 87, but yeah. 88, I was in Seoul, Korea.
All right.
All right, so here we go.
Well, our lives took different paths from high school.
Yeah. Yeah, it did.
And here we are.
Here we are. We came all the way back.
My mind is filled with thoughts of you. I think about
All right. I think I got a lot of them, but not all of them. There's a couple I'm not sure about. So
yeah, I thought you'd get at least four.
So let's try this. Okay, here we go. The baby man's going to try again. I don't think I made that. That didn't make that big a deal of it.
It's Mr. Baby Man.
Oh, okay. All right, here we go. Play along.
My mind is filled with thoughts of you. I think about...
Okay, Danny, I think I've got these.
All right, let's see.
I might go six for six.
All right. Bring it on. Let's see what you got.
Band number one is definitely Van Halen.
Yep.
Yep. Not my favorite Van Halen song, though, there. Sorry. That's on OU812, isn't it?
Yep.
My least favorite Hagar album.
Oh, there you go.
Okay. Song number two, I believe, is The Smithereens.
That is correct.
Yeah, I don't own one album from them, but the guy has a distinctive voice.
Yes, he does.
Number three is Def Leppard.
That is correct.
Number four, Kingdom Come.
That is correct also.
The debut album, great album.
Yep, get it on.
Love it. Number five, tried to throw me a little curveball there, but that is Bad Company. With Brian,
that is correct.
Brian Howe singing, and that is Holy Water. Those Brian Howe Bad Company albums are pretty good, but they sound a lot like Foreigner to me.
Well, that song is No Smoke Without Fire.
Oh, okay. But it's on the Holy Water album, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's funny. I watched the Bad Company documentary, and they don't even mention that period of that band.
Really?
Nope. They just did Paul. Once Paul left the band, they don't mention Brian Howe or none of the music they recorded. And they put out like at least three or four albums. Don't mention it. Not a lick, which is, I thought.
Is it like produced by him or something?
I don't know. They just didn't want to talk about it. I guess when Brian Howe, I guess they didn't really like the guy when he left. So they just whitewashed it.
Huh.
Yeah, but go back. Check them out. They're pretty good, actually. But it doesn't sound like Paul Rodgers at all, but. I mean, the band sounds a lot, they're a lot more commercial during that time, so I just guess they despise that era. Okay, and number six is Europe.
That is correct.
So this boy went six for six.
Yeah, it was way too easy.
Yeah, it was. So now
next time it'll be extremely difficult.
Of course. So. It's got to be a challenge sometimes. Absolutely. You can't make it too easy.
Yeah.
But, I'm sure everybody out there on planet Earth got it. All six for six as well.
Yeah, I hope so. Make yourself feel good.
I think the only one who would trip people up is probably the Smithereens because they're a lot different than the other bands were.
Yeah, but that was a very big song.
Yeah.
It was only a memory.
Yeah. Still couldn't name one Smithereens song. But I mean, you did.
I just told you one.
I forgot it already.
Only a memory.
Okay. Only a memory. I will not, which I will not be listening to after this show is over.
Okay.
Okay. Now. You're 6 and 30. The theme for this is bands that played the Southern California Sunset Strip scene, got signed, released albums, but didn't really make it big.
Oh, geez.
But they released albums, and you'll probably know most of these. No, you may not know hardly any of these bands. But I think they're all major label, too.
Okay, so
you just never know.
So bands that... never made it big. Okay, this should be a piece of cake.
They released major, they all signed off the strip and they made major label albums. I mean, they have their hardcore fans, but they weren't like platinum selling artists, you know, so.
Okay. All right, here we go.
Good luck.
Can you deliver? I'm gonna look in the ear. You're killing me with all the rattlesnake kisses, knocking me out. Earthshaker, feel the shatter.
right. Well, I think I got three.
Wow, three.
And I think I don't have three.
I thought you two of them I knew you'd probably get easily.
God. The other three, I have never even heard the songs.
You may have never even heard of the bands, but we'll find out.
We'll find out. Let's hear it again.
Okay.
Can you deliver? I'm gonna look and eat.
All right, Jesus Christ. I don't think he's in any of the bands, is he?
Who?
Jesus.
Jesus is not one in any of the bands, but I think he did manage one of them.
All right, I would say the first two, I have no clue.
No clue. No. Never. Not even want to guess, huh?
I have no idea.
Okay, the first one, the name of the song is Yavo Asshole. A guy named Alex Kane, who was an early member of Enough's Enough, and it came back later, was in Enough's Enough as well, but he was a member of this band. The name of the band, they had a homeless guy who was their lead singer named Stanley, who never showered, and he looked like a homeless guy. The name of the band was Life, Sex, and Death.
Never heard of it.
Yeah, well, you can see their video. There's a video for a tank. I'm a tank, I'm a tank, I'm a tank. They got a big label push. I think they were on Geffen, and I get their lead singer was so out of control. He's one of those. Yeah, he was literally looked like a homeless guy. It was weird, and it didn't work. I mean, all that push and it failed for the band. But a lot of people love that album. Second band appeared at, I believe they appeared at M3 last year.
Really?
They had a guy named Mark Ferrari in the band who was in Kiel.
Right.
And after Kiel, he formed this band. They were called Cold Sweat. Ever heard of
them? The only Cold Sweat I know is a Thin Lizzy song.
Okay, yeah. Band called Cold. They had one album, and poof, they were gone. It was melodic hard rock. You'd probably actually like it.
So. I may have to check that one out.
Number three. What was number three? Oh, the band number two was Cold Sweat. Which you probably have. You should probably never listen to it.
I'll check it out.
Okay. Number three.
I think number three is Wild Side.
Wow. And you'd be correct. That is Wild Side.
I don't know why, but I like that song.
Yeah. Wild Side, Cold Sweat all came out about the same time. Actually, I think Life, Sex, and Death came out around the same time as well. Late 80s, early 90s.
Yeah, I did like that album. Number four, that's John Bush with Armored Saint.
Can you deliver? Yep, definitely run. That's two we got.
It's a great song, man. I really liked Armored Saint. You know, they were like a hard, but not like speed metal. They were just a good hard rock.
Yeah, they were more of a metal band, though, because I saw Armored Saint in the country club, and they dressed as like Conan the Barbarian characters.
Yeah.
I saw John Bush as a 19-year-old with full head of hair. I mean, they were good. But there's one of those bands that got signed early, but it took forever to get the album out. And once the album came out, it didn't get much of a push. And they had a nice little career, but they never made it. People thought they were going to be big. It just didn't happen for them.
It was another March of the Saint was another great song by them.
Yeah, and if you've seen the Can You Deliver video, it starts with March of the Saint music and then goes into Can You Deliver.
Okay.
It's a killer video.
Yeah, I like John Bush's vocal. I like the Anthrax stuff he did.
Yeah, and as we all know from this show, John Bush was asked to be the lead singer of Metallica back then, and he said no because he had his own band with his buddies called Armored Saint. Could you imagine that, huh? Because at the time, James Hetfield wasn't a singer. So they wanted John Bush.
Damn.
Would have been interesting.
Yeah, would have. He has the voice to pull that
early
Metallica growl off.
And look how he did in Anthrax. He was great in Anthrax.
Oh, he was. Such a good vocalist.
All right. Number five. What do you think?
Number five, again, no clue.
You probably never even heard of this band. They're Electric Angels.
Oh, jeez.
And they had a guitar player in their band named Ryan Roxy. Ryan Roxy is one of the guitar players in Alice Cooper's band and has been there forever.
All right.
Yeah. Well, and they were a band. They formed from another band. I don't know if you remember a band named Candy, early 80s, with Gilby Clark. They were a pop, power pop band, and they kind of broke up and turned into Electric Angels. So
okay.
May released an album, went nowhere, goodbye. And number six, I think you're going to get.
Yeah, number six is Jet Boy.
Jet Boy, yep. And Jet Boy's another band. They got a huge push and went nowhere.
Yeah, I like that song, Feel the Shake. I also like the Heavy Chevy.
Yep.
Another great song.
Good band. Still around.
They remind me a lot of Hanoi Rocks.
Maybe the look. Kind of a street sleaze band, kind of like Guns N' Roses were. They came about the same time. They both got the push, but Guns is the one that really people gravitated toward.
Yeah.
So you did pretty good. At 3 out of 6.
Three out of six.
That was a tough one. So together we did 9 out of 12, which is really good.
Man, but it almost passed.
I bet you nobody got 12 out of 12.
Nobody. No. You know, you can put in the comments that you got 12. I don't know how you'd prove it, but I don't think so.
I think the Cold Sweat and the Electric Angels would really throw people off. Because I think a lot of people do know Life, Sex, and Death. Some people, it's one of those bands that, just look at their videos. You're just not going to believe this guy. His name was Stanley. He had glasses, and he was dirty and smelly. Never bathed. It was just weird.
Why would you be in a band with somebody like that?
I don't know. That was their gimmick. But it was real to that guy. So,
jeez, whatever.
So now, since we've gone through this, Danny, it's your week to pick a song. Have you had time to think about what you want to play and share with the people out there?
Yeah, I think initially I was going to go with a Van Halen song, but everybody knows all the Van Halen songs, no question. So I'm going to go with that last one that we played. I'd like to hear Feel the Shake by Jet Boy.
Great song. If you like it and you don't own it, go out and buy it and tell somebody that you heard it here first. And if you guys like the show, please share it with your friends and subscribe and help us guys out here, you know?
Yeah.
We're not getting any younger.
You guys can't even remember what?
Yeah, we don't remember. We ask the same questions every week. That'd be interesting. And we'd still get them wrong.